And we're going to go from Daniel chapter 12 this morning. Now, you might want to open your Bibles and find that. The image that we've had for this series has been one of a mountain. And if you've ever climbed a mountain, you know that that moment when you can actually see the top gives you extra energy because you can see the end is on sight. You forget the fact that you've got to walk back down, but you see that the end's in sight. And there's something that happens when we see the end is in sight that gives us energy to keep pressing forwards. Has anyone run a race of some sort, and that moment when you see the end, you think, yes, I can get there. You know how far it is. Some races you come past the end and you see it, and then you've got to carry on running, and you're, oh, what's going on? Because you've seen the end, and it becomes difficult if you have to run further than expected. And there's something about seeing the end in sight that gives us energy and focus for now. This week we heard that, you know, the coronavirus vaccine will come out, and it feels like in one sense, oh, the end is in sight. Maybe the end is in sight. We don't know how long this is going to take to do, but we have this sort of vision of, oh, there's something, this is coming to an end. And that gives us good news, because before that we were kind of like, how long is this going to go on? And I suppose in some ways we're still like that a little bit, wondering quite when this season will be over. And this morning in Daniel we get a picture of the end. And I believe this morning that God really wants to speak to us through this and fill us with just real focus and real passion for what God is going to do at the end. And this gives us amazing hope for day to day when we know and we've seen a vision of the end, and we know that that helps us to walk day by day until we get to that place. It fills us with excitement. It keeps us focused. So we're going to read from Daniel chapter 12. And I've called this morning's message, "The End is in Sight." Okay, this one's a little bit shorter, which you'll be glad to hear. I know last week's reading was about 10 minutes. "At the end of time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation until that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end of the time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, 'Oh my God, what shall be the outcome of all these things?' He said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed to the end of time. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days.'" Should we pray? Father, we thank you for this book of Daniel that we've been looking through over the last few months. And Lord, we want to ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Lord, this morning we pray, would you speak so clearly to each of us? Lord, we open our hearts to you and we say, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. We want to draw near to you, God, and you will draw near to us. We pray, would you speak through your word this morning to the glory of your Son, Jesus? Amen. There's an irony in Daniel as a book. If you look at the book, there's an irony in Daniel. In chapter 1, Daniel is given revelation of dreams to understand and interpret dreams and visions. And he does this through chapters 1 to 6. Kings, rulers have dreams, they have visions, and Daniel stands there and declares what they mean. Then Daniel starts having his own visions, and he doesn't understand them. He doesn't understand them. So many of his visions, he says, I don't understand. And there's a real irony about this. I like this. Advanced parking solutions, but I can't park. I won't be hiring them. He doesn't understand his own visions. And this points us to something that is a truth that Christians, we need to understand. Now, many, when they go to study theology, decide, I'm going to study theology because I want to have all the answers. And suddenly you realize, actually, I've probably got more questions than when I started. And there are some things that we as Christians will not understand in this life. Daniel didn't understand it. Even in this chapter, we see... Let me find where I am. Was here earlier. verse 8. I heard, but I did not understand. And this is something that we've heard time and time again through these chapters of visions, that I didn't understand. And if you're a Christian, there are things that you will not understand. I'm not going to go into the details of the 1,290 days, because actually we don't really understand this. We can come up with theories, but they're always theories. And there are some things that we don't understand. And I find this verse in Deuteronomy really helpful. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are some things that belong to God and we do not understand, and we need to be happy. I don't understand it all, but there are things that I do understand, and those things I can build my life upon. They're a solid foundation. We've got three we knows from this chapter. We know there are hard times ahead. Reading these final chapters of Daniel has been harder work than some bits of the Bible we could read. There are hard times ahead. We see this in verse 1. He said, and there shall be a time of trouble such as has never been since there was a nation until that time. Verse 7 speaks of a time when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. We see from these chapters that there are hard times ahead. And we could have, at the start of this year, we could have been thinking, hey, another year, what's my plans? I've got my ideas. And we were in one sense quite comfortable with life. And suddenly we've been hit for six with what's happened. And we shouldn't be surprised at this if we read our Bible, that there are hard times ahead. There are bumps in the road. Part of our journey as a Christian is going to include tough times, really tough times, as well as joyful times. That's the bad news, okay? That's the bad news. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says this. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. When it's hard, it's not strange. It will feel hard, but it's not strange, because we know that part of our journey with God will involve hard times. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We know that God's people will be rescued. I don't know if you picked up this story, I think it was last week in the news. This is Stuart B. He was trapped out at sea, his boat capsized off the coast of America and was at sea for 2 days. And the first thing he said when the boat came, he said, what's the day? How long have I been at sea? Because he just had no clue because of the ordeal he'd been through. And we're told that God's people will be rescued. In verse 1 it says, but at that time your people shall be delivered. They shall be delivered, those whose names are written in the book. And we're going to come to that in a moment. But this deliverance is throughout the Bible, this rescuing. God rescued his people from under Pharaoh. He rescued them. He sent the plagues and he rescued them. God was to rescue his people from bondage and from exile in Babylon. That's part of this story, is that God's starting to rescue his people. Even as we did chapter 9, there was chapter 10, God's people had started to go back to their homeland. God was doing a rescuing. But none of these were the true rescue that was going to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus was going to rescue us from sin, from death, from the effects of sin, from Satan and his dominion. That's what Jesus was going to come and do. And this passage clearly tells us that there is a difference between people. That there are some people whose names are going to be written in the book, and there are some who aren't. And to understand this more, we need to go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. I'm just going to turn there. It says this, I'm going to read from verse 11. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's a very real problem if you've not responded to Jesus. Is your name in that book? What Liz shared, we've got good news to share with you. The good news is that your name can be written in that book, and it's not about what you've done, but it's about what Jesus has done. But there is a difference at the end of time between people who have put their faith in Jesus and people who haven't. And we see that through the Bible. And there's good news because Jesus has made a way. Jesus has made a way for us to stand right with him. And it's all about our faith in him. It's not about anything we've done. It's about, have we repented? Have we turned from our sin and say, I'm going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to trust that Jesus has taken the punishment for all of my sin, and that in him I find myself righteous. When we celebrate Jesus, it's easy, Jesus' birth, it's easy to just think of this little man in a manger, but to forget that he lived a life. He spoke some amazing words, but he also spoke about judgment. And he died. And now he's that one sitting on the white throne. That's who Jesus is. And God's people will be delivered. But my question for you, where you sit, is do you know that that's you? Do you know you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Because you could come to church, but not know whether you're truly put your faith in Jesus. Because it's not about being here on a Sunday. It's about who your faith is in. That's what matters. And if you've never made that decision and you think, I just don't know, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to spend some time with you. Early next year, we're going to do an alpha course, which you can look at some of those questions, because you need to be able to answer that question. Have I put my faith in Jesus? Do I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Number four. There is deliverance for those who are in Christ Jesus, but there is a resurrection from the dead. Now, if you look through your Old Testament, but there are many passages that point us to this resurrection from the dead. And this is a rare glimpse of resurrection from the Old Testament. And we understand this, like all Scripture, we understand what this means by looking at Jesus. If we want to understand our Bible, we need to understand who Jesus is. We need to understand him, because all prophecy points towards Jesus. It's all about him. The book is written about him. And there is a resurrection from the dead. And we see incredible words here. And many of those who fall asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. There is a great inheritance for those who are in Jesus. There is a resurrection from the dead. Now, I forgot to say this earlier, but in verse 10 it says, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. There is still an opportunity to enjoy this great resurrection, this great inheritance in Christ Jesus. You can be refined in him. We find, I'm going to move to 1 Corinthians 15. It speaks in 1 Corinthians 15 about Jesus being the first fruits. Now, if you've ever grown anything in your garden, I've grown a few tomatoes. They're not too hard to grow if you want to grow tomatoes. But when you see the first tomato there, you know there's going to be more. It's very exciting. You see that first fruit and you think, there's more to come. Or we grew strawberries a few years ago and there's flowers and it's all very boring. It looks all very green and not much is happening. And then suddenly you start to see the beginning of strawberry and you think, we've got strawberries. This is exciting. And it talks about Jesus being the first fruits. It says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruit. Then at his coming, those who belong in Christ. There is a resurrection from the dead. We're not going to float around on clouds playing harps like you see in popular art or unpopular art, depending on how you view it. That's not what our hope is. Our hope is in a resurrection from the dead, in true physical bodies, in a recreation of the heavens and the earth, in life with our King Jesus. That's what our hope is. And it's a sure hope because Jesus is the first fruit. He is alive. Can I get an amen? Amen. You sound like you're going to sleep. It's good news. We have great news. And Daniel gives us that picture of this resurrection, that it's going to happen. The final verses of Daniel. I have to go back now. Final verse, it says, but you go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and you shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. What an incredible verse for Daniel to hear. You might not understand all of this, but at the end of time, you will stand in your allotted place. It's yours. God's given it to you. You will stand there. And for each of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we have an assurance of the resurrection of the dead. We have an assurance that when Jesus returns, we shall rise. And there's many passages in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that speak of this resurrection. All of the apostles, when they preached, they would speak about the resurrection, not just the cross, not just the death of Jesus, about Jesus being alive. And we don't want to not speak about the cross, because the cross is vitally important, but we don't want to forget the resurrection, because the resurrection is what gives us great hope. We know our sins are forgiven, but we know that there is a great hope that we are looking forwards to. And there's two passages that, well, we need to respond. We need to make a decision. hey, actually, I want to respond to God. I want my name to be written in that book. I want to know that this great inheritance, this great hope is mine. It's mine because of Jesus, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And you need to make a decision to respond. And Alpha may be a way that you explore some of these things. But there's two passages that speak about the resurrection and what it means. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 speaks about, I don't want you to be informed what will happen at the end. This is what Paul speaks about. And he speaks about the resurrection. He speaks about what will happen. And he finishes, because of this great hope, because you know what's coming, because you've seen the end, you know what's there, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. He tells them, because of the resurrection, encourage each other. Encourage each other with these words. Remind each other, hey, there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. Even this year, we've all known people who have died. But those who have given their lives to Jesus are in a better place. They are. They're in a better place. We may feel that sense of loss, but they're in a better place. They're in the best place there can be. They're with Jesus. And that should fill us with great hope. And even when we speak to each other and we speak about, I know it's hard to experience that sense of loss, but they are in a better place. And we need to encourage each other and remind each other that that's our inheritance, that it's sure. The second passage, 1 Corinthians 15, has an encouragement at the end of it. Paul speaks for a whole chapter on resurrection. Speaks about death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Tells them you've got a great resurrection to look forwards to. So now be steadfast. If you're running a race, you've seen the end line, you know now's not the time to give up. The end is there. Keep going. Keep going. And he tells them that always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. Anything you do for God is not in vain. When you make decisions to follow him, when you make that decision to step out and speak about God and you think, oh, and it doesn't go well, it's not in vain. None of our work is in vain. Isn't that good? Isn't that an encouragement? You know, when you think, oh, I've found this year has been a year where I've had an opportunity to just think about what are my priorities. I'm still thinking about that. As life at some stage returns to normal, what are my priorities? What are the things I've been wasting my time doing that have no eternal significance? How can I keep abounding in the work of the Lord? And I want to encourage you today. Well, I'm going to finish here really. But I want to encourage you. We have a great hope of a resurrection which is sure and steadfast because it's based in what Jesus has already done in time and history. He's already alive, he's already ascended to heaven, and he's coming again. It's secure, and it's ours. So, what do we do now? We're steadfast, we keep pressing forwards. Even when it's hard, we keep going forwards, we keep abounding in the work of the Lord, because we have something that cannot be taken away from us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I've asked Liz and Grace to come and sing it's an older song, but it's got this tension. It's called I Cannot Tell, and it's got this tension of things that we don't know, things that we cannot tell, things that we can't understand, we can't fathom, but also things that we know. And we live with that tension. Well, I don't know all of this, I don't understand all of this, but I do know this. And we know that there's a great hope of the resurrection. Jesus will be king, hallelujah, so we can celebrate in this as Liz and Grace sing.